I have been meditating on this passage of scripture for a couple of weeks now, and it has been quite apparent to me throughout all this that has been going on. It has been quite apparent how the agenda of God is to refocus the world, for the world to bring attention to Him, but not only for the world, but for His church, is for us to press in even more, to refocus. And there are times that we don't, because you'll hear different stories and different things and different perspectives, and you know, you'll have 100 people say God, say, and there'll be 100 different things. But one thing I have realized, that His word and the revelation of His word doesn't change. You might get different revelations, but they won't be distant, if that makes sense. Hallelujah. Praise God. And once again, I'm not the guy that sits up here and tries to rebut what people say God said, or just, I'm not, that's just not Brother Marcus. I spend my time for preaching down other preachers, or preaching down people, period. I think we could spend our time better, our time to be better served. But however, I will say that that there is a definite source of truth, and that is His word. It hadn't changed, and it's not going to change. And the spirit of His word is not going to change, praise God, because they don't contradict one another. We are as people, we are extremely contradictory in many aspects. But I know that heaven's not. There is no COVID-19 that scares God. There is no lack. God is not threatened by anything. And so Jesus went to, we all know, and we celebrate it, and we're here because of it. He went to the cross because He gave Himself up. They didn't take His life. He gave it to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. And throughout His walk on here, on the earth, you see Him giving Himself. But most of all, He was giving Himself unto the Father. He was submitted. He was God. He was extremely detailed, extremely focused, and extremely submitted. And so oftentimes when we think that when Jesus came down here from heaven, that there were distance between Him and the Father. But I'm here to tell you that there wasn't any distance. Hallelujah. See, when your heart is full of that, or full of that individual, or full, when Jesus' heart was full of God and God's heart was full of Jesus, there was no distance. They were one. Hallelujah. They were one. And I don't care what comes about, when there is a full of faithfulness to what you are submitted to, there is no crack, hallelujah, that the enemy can get in. Doesn't mean he's not going to try. Doesn't mean he's not going to try. That's his job. He don't take lunch breaks. He's going to try. And God understands this better than anybody. The trying doesn't bother him. He knows the enemy's agenda. He knows what the enemy tries to do. His greatest tactic is to sever connection. From the beginning, it was to sever connection. If I can sever connection and if I can get distance, well, I can get you. Hallelujah. We might be quarantined, but we're not distant from God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so in this time that we are by law in some states, because we have a bunch of states represented on this line, they're not allowing fellowship. But that doesn't bother me because that has been done before. That doesn't, the church was scattered many a time, the book of Acts. And even the apostle Paul was a chief scatterer, if you will, of the church and killer of the church. It doesn't bother me. But the fact that we are so persuaded by things and elements is a problem. It becomes a problem. Meaning, distance shouldn't change my loyalty. Hallelujah. My submission or my quarantine shouldn't change what I'm submitted to. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to be one of them nights, thank God. And so, the book of we were going to read from the book of Revelation, but the Holy Spirit switched it. And you know, Revelation means to uncover. It literally means to uncover. And to understand that we are in human form, but spirit-led, regardless of what that spirit is, good, bad, or indifferent, we are spirit-led. We are spirit. We are led by spirit. Persuasion, influence, principle. These are things that oftentimes guide us. And I'm willing to bet they guide us. I mean, they guide us every day. Praise God. And it is important for us to realize and to understand what we are submitted to. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when we get a revelation, which means, I'm sorry, it means to take the cover off. Praise God. To take the cover off is what revelation means. You can get insight not just on what's wounding you or what has wounded you, because it's not hard to understand hurt. We all been hurt by somebody, and the truth is we've all hurt somebody because we have lived in this. We were born in this. There was nobody outside of Jesus Christ that was born into this world that was without sin. Hallelujah. And so we have that continual cycle of being hit back. And then sometimes we'll dump on people. We will dump our pain on people that didn't even have anything to do with the origin of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, and it's all derived because the pain and the narrative of the pain and the people that it comes to begins to speak to us, and it brings distance. We can be in the church and still be distant. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we're not going to read from there, but this is very powerful. Jesus talked about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and I'm not going to go into all the theology of all that, but basically it is the doctrine of idol worship. And the truth be told, sometimes we'll idolize our pain. The world idolizes the things that God hates. We'll idolize our pain. We'll idolize ourselves. This is what selfishness is. It's you just your own idol. Hallelujah. And so we have this conundrum, if you will, of living in our own opposition. We're living with our own opposition. Easy to point. We have gotten so coerced and so to always blame other people. We love to blame other people. Oh man, you can just turn on the news. And I'm not here to get political. One side blaming the other. Somebody's blaming China. This, that, and the other. Hallelujah. But that Holy Spirit gonna put a mirror in front of your face. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's not the flesh and blood we're fighting. It's the principality. It's easy for us to blame other people than to pay the cost of looking at our own self. Looking at our own self. Hallelujah. Praise God. It makes more sense. Y'all turn with me to Luke 4 tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. It costs us something. To walk with Jesus, if it's not costing you, you're not following him. You're following me. Hallelujah. And the thing that it's costing you is not worth the thing that is walking with you. To walk with Jesus, there is nothing greater. To walk with the God Almighty. And it is amazing how we will rebuff God's advances to advance you because of our own self-righteousness. And I don't speak in a condescending or condemning way. I speak from experience and day-to-day experience. I have an understanding why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. To walk with God, you have to die daily. Because if I don't, I lose connection. I'll lose connection. Hallelujah. Jesus said his words were life, and they are life more abundantly. And we have an idea what abundant life is. But I think if we examine the scripture and the life of the scriptures period, you will see what God intends for you to have, meaning, his meaning of abundant life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. What I say, Luke 4, I'm not going to read too many of these, thanks to God. Luke 4, and we're going to start in 1. And so the book of Luke is the way it's written is different because Luke was a Gentile, but he had, and it's not so much different as in odd, but it's the way it's literally written is from a Gentile's perspective, somebody who had not grown up understanding the Old Testament, the Torah, and these things. But he had a revelation, and he walked with Jesus. Hallelujah. And I don't care how something is so unfamiliar. Praise God. Jesus will reveal newness, and he will reveal things you were foreign to at one time. He wasn't out of place at all, as one might think he did. Hallelujah. And so he gives the genealogy of Jesus, verifying the validity, because that was one of the things that popped up in the Gnosticism of Jesus, or the Gnosticism and the combatant is to try to destroy his story. And so they would oftentimes people would write Gnostic letters, fake letters, denying Jesus one way, whether it be his lineage in the tribe of Judah, or him, of course, they would always try to deny him being God in the flesh. So there's always kind of rebuffs and denials. But you could not deny his word and God using him and him being God. You could not deny fact that he did the things. He fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. He did what was impossible by man, fulfilling words of men who have been distant from, writings have been distant of hundreds and in some cases thousands of years, but he's fulfilling it to a T. See, because they might have been distant in time, but the prophets of old and Moses, and you go back to some of the kings, they might have been distant in time, but they weren't distant in God. Hallelujah. See, God doesn't contradict himself at all. So now here's Jesus. The promise. What we thought what the Old Testament thought was just land and the festivity of a place, God reveals the true promise, which was to unlock us from the bondage of death and deliver us into the glorious light and the forever habitation with God. Sometimes we don't realize what he has done for us because we look at sometimes what we don't have. But I'm here to tell you to look to him who you do have. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look for. I'm not going to hold you too long. Thanks God. This is going to be good. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, and that preaches all by itself. I could stop right there and we would be good for tonight. Full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Returned from Jordan, and that was where he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit fell on him like a dove, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness or wilderness. And we're going to talk about this for a second. The wilderness. The wilderness. It's a theme throughout the Word of God. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. There was often times that the children of Israel throughout the years were in Babylon that had taken captive of them. But it was a wilderness. Several, they had been captive three times by different, the Assyrians had taken captive. Babylon had taken them captive, and they had to rebuild. And it seems to be a theme. And for our lives, it seems that we have been in uncontrolled environments or wild places. See, we love our home, and we love it to be the way we want it to be. I can go in each and every last one of y'all houses and I can see your personality. It is the way you want it. You have constructed it. You got your sofa, your love seat, this, that, and the other. However you got it choreographed, it's because you can control your environment. But it takes, this is something. Because he was led not by how he felt, but as you have just read, as I have just read, he led him, the Holy Spirit led him into wildness or the wilderness. You know how uncomfortable it is when you're in an environment that's foreign to you and an environment that you can't control, or an environment that you can't put your stamp on. See, because many of us, when the Spirit told us, hey, let's go out here, there's times we say, oh, well, you know, God, you know what's out there. And the reason why we rebuff God's advances is because we're not fools. We're full of something, but oftentimes we're not full of the Holy Spirit. Because what you're full of, you will be led by. Jesus wasn't driven by fear. He was not driven by convenience. He was led of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he was led into the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And he was led to be tempted. We'll read on. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Oh, man. It seems that when we are starving, we are at our most vulnerable. You see people starving for attention, and sometimes they get in the worst mess. When you make decisions according to what you don't have, you become exposed and vulnerable to the enemy. It says he didn't eat anything, but it also told you he was full. So we've got this paradox going on, if you will. He's full in one sense and empty on another. Oh. And he's tempted. Oh, man. We've been in that picture before. But with Brother Marcus, it was reversed. I was full of something else and starved of the Spirit. So it wasn't hard to tempt me at a time. And we've all been there. Spiritually bankrupt. But here's where the transition takes place. Thank you, God. Here's where we become overcomers. Because we don't rely on what's familiar. We rely on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But look what he did to repel the enemy's advances. He didn't rely on negotiation. And we have far too long negotiated with Satan in our lives. We have negotiated with his merit. Well, Satan, you know, well, we don't have that because he's so subtle, because if he came to you, it'd be a different story. But so subtly we negotiate to fulfill what we want. Hallelujah. But Jesus, the negotiations wasn't happening. He wasn't negotiating with you. Because when you negotiate, you become compromised. And the Bible didn't say. It said he was hungry. Hallelujah. But when your bread comes above, hallelujah, there are no negotiations. There's just casting out. Watch this. He said, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Watch this. And the devil said unto him, if thou, this is extremely important, thank you, God, to you. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Use your power for you. Use your authority for you. Use what God has given you for you. But here is, that's not the most critical point. He says, if thou, the if in our lives. The if. This is what gets us. Hallelujah. He is trying to use his own identity, although trying to create doubt, but using his own identity as if Jesus had to prove something to him. And we get in that place where we think we got to prove ourselves. So he wants to get you on his level. see the war of principles. The enemy is cunning and he's slick. He's subtle. So he says, if, to create doubt. But when you have starved the right thing and you are full of the Holy Ghost, good luck, Satan, and good riddance. So watch what our Savior says. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written. It is written. That man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Now we recite this and quote this, but to really examine it, thank you God, and to understand it. This is your mantra, and this is your banner for victory. Because one thing, we don't all have the same gifts, we don't all have the same office, but we all got it is written. I hope so in your house anyway. I hope you have this word. So he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. See, and you see what Jesus was doing it for. He was doing it for us because he was the word made flesh. And so where the enemy could find a hiding place, the word sealed the cracks. Where he could slither his way in, Jesus was stepping on his, fulfilling the prophecy of at this stage anyway, where Eve would bear the seed that would bruise the neck of the serpent, bruise the head of the serpent. And too long we have been taking lumps from him. It's time to end negotiations with things we should be casting out. We are negotiating peace. Or trying to, not peace, but negotiating with the enemy. When Jesus says, it is written. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is in a wilderness place, but not lost. The children of Israel, and many of them died in the wilderness. Because it was always what they did not have is what they were looking at. Talking about. Complaining about. Here they had the cloud by day, the fire by night. They had the presence of God. They see pharaohs drown, shackles unloose. And they're so quick to forget. It is written. Found for me. Hallelujah. He was starving, but yet he was still full. Hallelujah. He says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Now, life, sustenance, things that feed us. Now, Jesus is talking about on a whole, this is a whole nother plane. We know we need water. We know we need these things. But if you put your weight in these things, more than the Holy Spirit, you will always live an off-balance life. I hear people talk about balance all the time. And I get it and I understand. But humanity was not balanced because we weren't just. And I'll get into the law and how God says he hated imbalance. The children of Israel could not even have animals that had imbalance when they were carrying different agriculture. It's all spiritual. We could not have balance because we were not just. But I'm here to tell you, you're not justified by what you have. You're justified by faith. Oh, man. So Jesus, in this sector of the conversation, we're going to close in. And we'll get into the other sectors next week. So he tells the enemy, not with something that we have been denied from. Because a lot of people can say, well, he was Jesus. You know, he had that power. He was the same word. He is the same word you have. He said, it is written. Your life is not consisted of what the world says or what your opinion is. The life is consistent. And life is abundant when we live by the word of God. Nobody's above temptation. And nobody's above failing. But you can live above when you eat above. Even in the Old Testament, God said you are from above and not, you're from above only and not beneath. But we find ourselves compromising and eating things and subjecting ourselves to things that are below your call. But I'm here to tell you, thank you, God. Your promise, it is written. Your deliverance, it is written. Your overcoming the enemy, it is written. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus overcome to what he was submitted to. He moved by what he was submitted to. The flesh is loyal to the carnal. The spirit is loyal to the dominion of God. It is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't say, he didn't just say, bread alone, we live. Bread alone. So he gives you revelation that we can be compromised by what we deem life is. When we deem life in an idolatry standpoint, we can easily be swayed. When we live a life by how we feel, we can easily be compromised. But Jesus, being the all-atoning lamb, being the Lion of Judah, tells the opposer, the Satan, that it is written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. the next time the enemy tries to tempt you or tells you that he's taking something from you or taking you, you tell that old sleuthfoot, it is written. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to stop right there. Thank you, God. We are going to stop right there. Praise God. I pray this word was a blessing to you. We'll get more if we don't have if we don't have a guest speaker next week. We'll get more into the other sectors of because it just keeps getting better and better and better. Thank you, God. Praise God. But we're gonna change the order of the service tonight.